What's up, everyone? Thanks again for joining the Emerald Coast Essentials podcast. I'm hanging out at the Emerald Coast Science Center with our director, Diane. How are you?
Good, great.
Awesome. So I am super excited about this one. I've had great experiences ever since I've been here. But I want to get a little bit about your background and how did you end up here? Because I know it's definitely not where you started.
No, not at all. So I'm a quasi-local. I did graduate from high school in this area. So I graduated from Niceville.
Nice.
And my mother still lives here. And I went away to college, left, came back in 1999 to raise my family here.
Okay.
Because I think this is an incredible place to raise a family.
Where'd you go to college?
I went to Huntington College in Montgomery, and then I have a master's. I got a bachelor's in chemistry, and then I got a master's in forensic science at UAB in Birmingham.
Forensic science.
Yes.
What did you use that for?
Well, I actually worked as a research chemist, and I worked in chemistry laboratories, you know, during graduate school and right out of graduate school. I did some biomedical testing as well. I did a lot of drug screening. So my emphasis inside of my master's was toxicology. And then I was a research chemist with the Food and Drug Administration in Cincinnati at their Forensic Chemistry Center for 5 years. And then we had two kids and my husband traveled and was gone all the time. And so we decided to move back here because we, you know, my parents, my dad was still alive at the time, were here. And then that way we had backups. And then I didn't work for a number of years.
So okay. Kids have a way of throwing a wrench in there, don't they?
I still got to do a lot of things. I mean, I was like that PTO parent and that room mom and the field trip chaperone and the team mom. And, you know, so they weren't like idle years. They were years spent investing in my two girls and then their friends and the organizations and the community that they were involved in.
I mean, that's awesome. I get privilege of getting to do that with my daughter.
And I think that is a privilege.
Yeah.
And I think that if you have that opportunity, it's kind of like something that you should do because not everybody does.
Right.
And so you can be there for those kids whose parents aren't fortunate enough to be able to fill some of those gaps.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how we looked at it in our family. And I had a ball. An absolute ball.
Right. Well, once your kids are gone, you can always become director of science centers and do other jobs.
That's right.
There's always time to do more, but your kids are only young ones.
Right. And I always look at it like this. You have all these different like phases of your life. And so it's always really fun to sort of like reinvent yourself every, you know, 10 years or something like that.
Yeah.
And I was fortunate enough to have that opportunity.
Awesome. So, very awesome. Mm-hmm. So you said you came back here, just you wanted to land back in Niceville or the Emerald Coast, I should say.
We did. Okay. We did. My husband's parents, at the time, they had a house that they had purchased in like 1965 or something. They wanted to go live on a boat. And so they were going to put it on the market. And so we were like, oh, we can't let that piece of property go. So that's why we decided to come back here. And they did go off and live on a boat for a little while. And then my father-in-law got sick. So, you know, but he did get the opportunity to do his dream, which was to live on a boat and sail and the Keys and stuff like that.
Very cool. So, did you go with them?
We did. We went down to Marathon a couple times and visited with them when they were down there.
How was it?
The Keys are so great. They're so different from here.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about the beaches that we have, our beaches are beautiful and they're big and they're wide and they're approachable. The beaches in the Keys are more coral beaches, so they're not the soft sandy ones, and they don't have like big wide beaches.
Right.
So it's not like you have like a lot of places to just lay out on the beach.
Right.
So I think it's better if you have the opportunity to have a boat to go out around in the Keys. It's so beautiful.
Yeah. Well, something I didn't know moving to the Emerald Coast when I was like, oh, well, I'm moving to Florida. Like Florida is just Florida, right? And I got here. I got here in October. First day of work was in January, and I went up by Crestview, and I walked outside, and everything was covered in ice, and it was like 26 degrees outside. It was like, not Florida, not what I was thinking when I thought Florida, but South Florida doesn't get that way, obviously. It's
not to that extent. I mean, every once a century kind of a thing. Right. I think it can get that cold. But I mean, if you think about Florida, it's such a weird shape. Mm. And so there's a lot of miles between the bottom and the top.
Right.
And there's a lot of diversity. Actually, we learned this doing a program that we do called a bio blitz, where we take the kids out into the community and they collect insects and plants, and then they have the opportunity to try and use all of these like Audubon books and try and classify, name their insects. Then we take pictures and put it up onto iNaturalist, which is a platform for scientists all over the world to use. But when we were going through that process and we talked to kids about this, this region is one of the most biodiverse areas in the whole country.
Okay.
Because exactly what you said, right? So in Crestview, you do get a little bit of a winter. You know, we have these beautiful sandy beaches, right. And this beautiful sand actually comes from the Appalachian Mountains. And you know, then we have the freshwater and the rivers and the ponds and the lakes and the streams and stuff like that up at the top end of the county, or, you know, the top end,
right,
of Florida. And then you come down here and you have the saltwater. Well, to have both of those systems in place is, you know, in such a small geographical area, is really unique.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
So yeah, okay, totally got off track.
No,
there we were
talking about
Florida biodiversity programming, yep, that we've done.
I love it. So you came back here. You obviously have an educational background in science, in, you know, everything you went through, and then how did you end up taking over or getting in the position you're in now?
Let's see. So my first sort of like foray back into work was, I'm an adjunct professor at the University of West Florida.
Okay.
So I've been doing that since 2003. So I just teach the one class. I teach Intro to Forensic Science in their Criminal Justice and Legal Studies department. Absolutely adore it. It's so much fun. College, there's a lot of freedom in teaching. And my students aren't scientists,
right,
so I really get to, you know, nerd out with them.
Right.
So I love making them do those kinds of things as well. But I had joined the board of directors,
okay,
in March of like 2014. And at the time, the Science Center had been at the Landing, and for Walton Beach had been there since 1989, leasing that facility from the city. And the city had decided not to renew the lease with the Science Center. They were going to do something else. And now the building's completely gone. And so the board at the time had been looking around to find, okay, was it just going to disband? Was it going to go away? What were our options as far as where we were going to land? And the city put this piece of property on the market. So we are in the process of purchasing this building from the city.
Okay.
So it's ours to do with what we will, and we've done a lot of fun and funky things with it,
yeah,
along the way. So yeah, and because my daughter had one in college at the time, and I had one that was a junior that had just gotten her driver's license. So I wasn't tied to that 7 a.m., 2 p.m. drop-off pickup.
Right, right.
So I volunteered as a board member to sort of help during the move and get this building ready and clean and stuff like that. And the then director decided to take a full-time teaching position with the school district. I think at that time, there was some concern if the Science Center was going to make it. You know, moving from that location, moving here, taking on the ownership and the responsibility of the facilities. And this building was built in 1977. It wasn't designed to be a museum. It was a creative senior center. You know, taking on a mortgage payment.
Right.
So the first couple of years were really, really rough.
Well,
really rough.
I will say, I moved to the Florida Panhandle in October of 16,
mm-hmm,
if I'm right. We moved to Panama City, and then we ended up coming out here in 2018. And when we first got here, I was like, oh, there's a science center. We had been to science centers before. Our daughter was in 2018, so she was 4, going on 5. And she enjoyed it, but I remember just like there wasn't a lot going on. There's this big open area that was just full of mosquitoes, basically.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was like 2 things outside. And, you know, we've come back here pretty regularly over the years and just watch this place grow and grow and grow.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always something new and there's always something different, which is awesome. I mean, not just for the kids, but I now enjoy coming back because every time there's a new sugar glider or some exotic animal, or there's the background of the we're in a bus. I don't think the bus was here forever. So
yeah.
You know, the background of the filming today, we're filming on the bus, the STEM bus, but the outside has been all built up. There's a treehouse, there's a dinosaur exhibit out behind me. And there's just all kinds of stuff. You're continuing to build an app, which is super cool.
Thank you.
So how did you, obviously the pandemic threw a monkey wrench
yes.
in your program. So how did you get from, you said 2017?
2014 when we moved here.
Okay.
Right.
2014, rough building to 2020, pandemic, closed down museums.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, this place seems to be flourishing, at least from what I've seen. So, you know, I guess walk me through that timeline. What was that like?
So the first couple of years were terrifying. I mean, it felt like we were starting over, but we were starting over in a negative position because we hadn't had some very good programs, and we hadn't had for a number of years at the Landing. So to move from the Landing to here and then to have all of our extra capital going into building, you know,
right.
and owner-operator of the building, it didn't give us anything to invest in programs or invest in new exhibits. And it took us a couple of years to sort of build up trust within the community to make friends,
right.
Which, you know, as I'm sure in the line of work that you do, a big majority of what your time is spent doing is networking
yep.
and getting out into the community.
Absolutely.
And so you have to talk to people and you have to. And so for the first couple of years, I spent a lot of time saying, just come see the space. This space has potential. Don't look at it how it is at this moment in time, but look at it with, hey, what could it be?
Right.
And it took a long time, a couple years to sort of get our feet underneath us, to start making friends, to start figuring out what grants were available. We developed a great relationship with the Air Force Research Laboratory. They have some funds for STEM education in the community. And so we sort of built that relationship up. So we were able to get some new exhibits. We were able to invest in the programs. And so you can sort of see, like, once you can start doing that, then that has sort of like, you know, it builds on itself
right.
because you have somebody that comes and they say, oh, they got something new here. Or, oh, I went to this program you guys did in the school and we had so much fun. It made us want to come and check this place out.
Right.
And so we just kept you know, chugging along. So 2019, we'd hit that 5-year mark. Right. And that's like supposed to be like some sort of magical moment for small businesses.
Yeah. Yeah,
if absolutely. You can make it to the 5 years.
Right.
And then the pandemic.
Right.
So
there goes your 5 years.
Exactly.
Out the window.
But pull right yeah. out from underneath you. But I think what happened was we didn't realize that we had built the kind of backing in the community that we have.
Right.
So I talk about this a lot. I talk about being in this trench, right? And all I can see is what I want to do. I can't see what I've accomplished.
Right.
I can't pull my head up out of it to look at what the bigger picture is because I have these things that I want to do. So I'm just like, just keep digging, right? And I think the pandemic did something for us in the way that we popped our head up and we said, hey, we are so scared. We're really, really scared. You know, we're closed to the public. We lost over $100,000 in revenue in field trips that last 9 weeks of school because
okay.
we had a field trip book every single day.
Right.
Because that's field trip season. That's like, you know, that's your mortgage payment
right.
time of year, right? So we said, okay, hey, we're scared. And we started getting donations in. I mean, my board met every single week. And, you know, we started the pandemic. We had $8,000 in the bank. And we would meet every week on the phone. And we would go to what our burn rate was. And our treasurer would be like, okay, we can stay open for this number of days at this, you know. And then,
right.
you know, okay, well, we had a Facebook fundraiser. And that's when I think we sort of got that love and joy back from the community. And so that sort of tided us, you know, through. The city was incredible because they allowed us to take a little bit of break from the mortgage payments,
okay.
understanding, you know, that we had been closed and
right.
and everything. And so they said, we'll just extend it. And so that was fantastic. It relieved a lot of stress.
Okay.
And And then we decided, we were talking about the outdoor space, right? So we said, okay, well, we've got this incredible, it's almost 3 acres that we have here. And we said, yeah, I've got this incredible space outside. Let's create some outdoor exhibits. And I sent letters out to like 15 of the largest home builders in the area. And I said, hey, here's a list of projects that we want to do. We're kind of scared. People seem to feel better being outside than they do inside. So, we had two builders that stepped up, Whitworth Homes and Watry Homes and Navarre Lumber. Awesome. And they came in and they got all the building materials we needed. And then, so now we needed some strong backs is what we call them here, because stronger backs than mine and yep. my 70-year-old volunteers. So they coordinated.
Okay.
My volunteers coordinated. And we had EOD students.
Okay.
So they came out to help us, you know, to actually do the heavy lifting in the building. And you probably can't see, but there's a big red horse insignia on
it. Can you see it? Yeah. Bit of
so they built the cover over the dino dig area.
Okay.
So we had put the dino dig while Willie's had donated a bunch of leftover random bones that they had. So we had put the dino dig in the first summer, and it was gorgeously hot, like not as hot as it is now, but right. you know, but it was, there was no shade. So I go, okay, we want to put like a roof over it. And so Red Horse built it, and Watry Homes donated all the materials for
awesome.
It. So a combination between those two things. And then the best part was, is all I had to do was connect those two organizations, and I stepped out completely.
Awesome.
And it just magically appeared.
That's awesome.
Not magically, it took
yeah. Right.
So I think that when you partner with organizations like that, then they have a stake in your success as well.
Right.
And being a nonprofit, you know, some businesses get, you know, some kudos and get some, you know, value from supporting local nonprofits as well.
Okay.
So, and then there's, you know, some organizations that their mission aligns with our mission, which is to inspire and engage and inspire a scientifically literate community. So those are, you know, people that are come on board to help us out as well.
Right.
So it took a village. I mean,
yeah.
Well, it took a whole county.
Shout out to the county to yeah. come on together and yeah. put it all together.
To though. All the people yeah. in Calusa County. But yeah, so I think that the pandemic forced us to move outside, which then helped us to create and develop all these incredible outdoor exhibits. We partnered with the Coast Guard, so we have all sorts of types of sea vessels. And we talk a little bit about the nature, about why the boats float. We have information on each, like the sailboat and the pontoon boat and
right.
all the rules and regulations if you're going to go out on one of these, and safety things. We just had the Coast Guard Auxiliary Group was in here 2 days ago, and we're going to start partnering with them on some boater safety courses and some environmental protection things that they also hope to inform the public about. So we're really excited about that partnership and moving forward.
So you do partnerships with other groups. I know you've graciously allowed me to use the classroom here for teaching some survival classes.
Uh-huh.
You do a lot of events here. What are, I guess, some of the events, or I don't know, you probably read all of them off, but I don't know if we have time for all of them. But I know you have, what, homeschool events, field trip events,
yes.
you have a planetarium, you have adult events.
Yes.
So what are some of them? What could people come and do if they were going to do something?
So I would recommend that you go to our website
okay.
or follow us on Facebook and Instagram on our social media, because we'll have all of our events listed on our Facebook and our website. I think we actually have a calendar on our website that you can pull them up. So
anyone that's listening, I'll put all those links in the description as well. So you can just go on the show notes and it'll all be there.
Awesome. So first and foremost, we are a hands-on science museum. Okay, so that's the one thing. We have family memberships. So you can buy a family membership. You can come every single day if you want to. We are a part of the Association of Science and Technology Centers group, which allows you, with that logo on our membership, allows you free or reduced membership into over 300 other science museums.
Okay.
Some children's museums throughout the United States. So if you travel and you have a membership here with that logo.
I have no idea.
Oh, yeah. You can okay. go to oh, my gosh. My daughter was in grad school in Boston a couple of years ago, and we went to the Boston Museum. And it was $25 a person to get in there, and I showed our membership. all three of us got in for free.
Nice.
Yeah, it's okay. So if you travel, you go see your grandparents in a certain city and they have a museum there. It's a great thing to get. So that's our foremost priority is, of course, the facilities that we have here. Out of here, we run a homeschool program. So we have a Maker Day program, which is more hands-on. And then we have a homeschool academy, which is a little more standards-based. And we have a middle school homeschool program called Pathways. We also do our planetarium night. So we have an inflatable digital mobile planetarium, which we can take out into the community. And we also set it up here after hours because we have to rearrange the museum and whatnot. So we do planetarium shows. And a lot of those shows, we write the shows ourselves. So we do like Journey Through the Solar System, the history of the, you know, how the planets got their names. We do technology and space. We do all the different constellation stories. So the ones that are most well known, of course, are the Greek and Roman mythology that's in the constellations. But every civilization and every culture has their own origin stories told through the night sky.
Right.
So we've done Native American, we've done Eastern European, we've done African, we've done Norse, which is always, and you know, it's kind of funny too now because with all the Marvel and all the, all of those stories, Percy Jackson's, so this is a kind of like a tie, and you know, because like you want to hear all the Loki or whatever. Well, now you can come to the planetarium and learn those backstories,
right?
Told through the Norse mythology or whatever mythology we're talking about.
So, is that something that someone could book if there's like a group of people that just want to come do it?
Yeah, you could do it. We do charge an hourly rate, we can bring it to you. You just have to have like a tall enough ceiling and a large enough space. Like I said, it's mobile, we take it into schools. We're actually taking it up to the Crestview Library next weekend, and they're going to just run some shows in the library at Crestview.
How many people does it fit?
It will fit about 25 school kids.
Okay.
If we're doing adults, we usually try and cap it at 20, so it's not too crowded.
Okay.
It's educator led, so there is information, but there's also a conversation. So
right.
If you have a kid that's super interested in something, they are welcome to ask questions and have this dialogue occurring. It's not a canned, like, click a button and a program runs. We also have a licensing agreement for an IMAX movie that we're showing in there. It's called Global Soundscapes. So that's something new that it took us a while to get it all figured out. But that's something else you could book. And we do also show it on a regular basis. So just, again, check out our website for dates on times on that one as well.
Awesome.
We go out into the school. So we take science hands-on lessons out into the schools. We offer field trips. Last year, we had over 5,000 kids come on field trips.
That's awesome.
Oh, that's so much fun.
That's
so much fun.
Yeah.
We're home to over 40 exotic animals. All of our animals are rescues. They're all donated to us. So that's what we were talking about, you know, coming to see the new animal or whatever. It's like, it's just so random, you know. And a lot of times we'll get them and maybe they're really young and they'll be with us for, you know, 10, 20 years. The tortoises, oh my, they're going to be here long after us.
Another 100 years?
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. Right. Some of those parrots, too, because they live a long time. And then sometimes we'll have some that are donated to us at their end of their life, and they'll just be with us for a year or two or something like that. But, you know, we love every single one of them, and they're all great teaching and learning opportunities with the animals.
Right.
We're coming up on our Women in Science conference and other special events once a month.
Awesome. And that is, so that's Tuesday, September 19th.
Yes.
5:30, 7:30.
At the Place on Beale.
Okay.
And then we also, once a month, we do adults only. So we were talking about just for adults only. Yeah. So sometimes it'll be Sorted Secrets of the Stars, which are the more saucier, racier constellation origin stories, and serve beer and wine.
Nice.
Or we'll do Sip and Science. We're doing that in October, and that's going to be Mystery at the Museum. In November, we're going to try out a new program called Pints and Prints. So we're going to be screen printing t-shirts.
Okay.
And that's adults only, so they'll be like beer and wine, and you can come in and make t-shirts.
Are those all here?
All here.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. On location. we always go out into the community. We're going to be at Smoke on the Coast. We go to like the beach cleanups. We go to Lionfish Festival. We always have booths at some, you know, different community outreach events and festivals. Okay, did I leave anything out? I'm sure I did.
You hit a lot of it. I mean, I think you really hit like what you've turned this place into, which, like I said, when we first got here, it was just like there was a couple events, you know, there was some stuff going on, but you've really grown it. What is your vision? I mean, we can see what your vision's been for the last 10 years. Yes. What is it for the next 10? What are you looking forward to doing?
So hopefully a little bit later on this fall, we've already made the deposit on this, is we just paved over the shuffleboard court, and we're purchasing another carport. We're moving all our cement tables, our concrete tables underneath there. That'll be an outdoor classroom space, or it'll be a space for field trips to eat lunch, or if you want to have a party or, you know, an event or something, that's just additional space for that. We just relaunched our My Chemical Cocktail, which we did in May, which was a cocktail competition that was done here, and it was so much fun. So we're hoping to make that our signature yearly fundraiser. So we're trying to put that on the calendar. We recently started a homeschool science fair. So we did that.
And we did that the first year.
Yes, we did. And you guys were sponsors. Yeah. And it turned out great. So we're really looking to build that program. And then my next big dream, and I don't know when we're going to make this happen, but we are going to make it happen, is we would like to get an additional building to put like right back over here.
Okay.
That would have a 14-foot ceiling so we could run the planetarium all the time. Like I said earlier, right now we have to run it after hours because we have to rearrange it. The ceiling in there is 10 feet. Ideally, it should be 13 and a half.
So you give it a home.
So we can give it a home. So you could come today and you could play in the museum. You could buy a planetarium ticket. You could go see a show in the planetarium. And then you could come back, you know. Field trips, we can't do them here, the planetarium, because it would take away the free time they have in the museum.
Right.
So we could offer a planetarium as a field trip. We did it for eighth grade at Pryor this year, but they didn't have free time in the museum. So they did the other rotations, and then their free time in the museum instead was a planetarium experience.
Okay.
So that was really great because they do Earth and Space, and they learn it in sixth grade, and they test on it in eighth grade. So it's a great refresher.
Right.
And it's an immersive experience.
It's fun.
So, yeah, it's fun. We have our SciPad, which is also another immersive experience, you know, where you use the wands and you move stuff around, and it's got the infrared cameras in the ceiling.
That's the one inside you're talking about? Okay.
Yeah.
That's fun.
It's got air conditioning. Day like today, that makes a difference.
I think that's a really good point, though. There's so much here that's geared towards outdoors, you know, which is a beautiful place to be outdoors, but we get afternoon thunderstorms, hurricanes come into town, you know, when it's really cold out, like, the beach is not as much fun in January, or even on days like today, just midday, it gets scorchingly hot, so it's a good place to come and hang out for the afternoon. There's air conditioning, most of it. You can go outside and see some of the stuff, but there's always inside.
Come back and get some more air conditioning.
Right. You just jump back around. So, no, that's awesome. Well, I'm very excited for the next 5 years for here, and I'm definitely, you know, going to be down and around quite a bit. So, before I let you go, because I got to run soon, what is your top recommendations if someone comes into town, if they had 24 to 48 hours to come to the Emerald Coast?
So, we have some great museums. They're small. That small museums only exist because somebody's passionate about them.
Okay.
So I always tell people when they travel to go to the smallest museum you can find because there's somebody that really loves that topic, that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And when you talk to somebody in that situation and you can feel their joy. Right. And I always think that that's refreshing. And I always like to get away from the beaches. We have some great hiking trails here. We have part of the Florida Trail that runs just north of, is that Shoal River?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. On the way to Crestview.
Yep.
So you can hop on the Florida Trail. There's Turkey Creek and Niceville. That's a beautiful pathway.
Yep.
You know, the water's cold.
It's so refreshing.
Yes.
I love it.
It's
I love it.
It's not going to help jellyfish or seaweed.
Fresh water, float it, you know, it's about an hour float.
That's yeah. Awesome. So I think that, you know, that's again, goes back to that great biodiversity that we have here. So you could one day do the salt water in the beach, and then the next day you could go somewhere and be in a creek or the fresh water or a pond or something like that, which is what makes our area so special.
Yep.
Yeah.
Very cool. Awesome. Well, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it. I will put all of you guys' links and information in the show notes. Mm-hmm. So if anyone's looking to come to an event or schedule a field trip or do a private event, it'll all be there. But thank you very much. It was great talking to you, and we'll talk soon.
Awesome. Thanks.
All right.